The arts and culture sector, as measured by the Bureau of Economic Analysis, represents about 3.2% of the nation's GDP. That's $500 billion. That's actually more than travel and tourism. And the ripple effect it has translates into restaurants popping up, hotels being booked, conventions.
What about situations where there's not going to be an economic return? There's not going to be a return on investment. It's the arts for the sake of the arts.
Oh, it's such a case-by-case situation. So we do celebrate the arts for the sake of the arts, and we also recognize that the arts have a tremendous power to help communities revitalize themselves, because we know that the arts provide a heartbeat. The arts has the power to transform individuals, communities.
How did that happen for you?
Having been born in Oklahoma and growing up in Arkansas, my parents were from China. So I hear my parents spoke Mandarin and I spoke English because they wanted me to assimilate. When I was 9, my father died of cancer, and I had been taking piano lessons, but did not have the words that could articulate grief. Music, however, provided me an opportunity to feel like I could express myself in ways that I didn't have in terms of a linear use of everyday words.
At the time when your dad died, did your mom speak English?
Yes, she did speak English. She learned book English. But when you go to a depth of grief of losing a parent, even book English doesn't always attend to the words that are so either sorrowful or deeply felt. But music can, and the arts can.
As you've traveled around and had the opportunity to experience arts from so many different corners of the country, has anything really kind of made you think about the arts differently?
The one thing that I do see is that when you've seen one community, you've only seen one community. Let's go back a couple of generations ago. The way communities were deemed successful had to do with its ability to, say, export a specific good elsewhere. But now communities are being seen as successful if they can make their characteristics distinctive. They don't all follow a specific template.
As you've seen the different arts institutions that you've seen here in Miami over the last few days, and as you've talked to different artists, what specific things have been particularly interesting to you?
Miami has an arts ecosystem based on neighborhood arts programs and mid-size arts organizations and large institutions. And really, that's when it's the most successful in terms of arts ecology.
What are the kind of lessons that you think we should be paying attention to when it comes to the arts?
I think about something like in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, where there's overpasses that have divided the community directly in half, and sometimes low income versus high income. And here comes an Our Town grant through the NEA to take those overpasses and turn them into pedestrian walkways through murals and the community coming together with professional artists. And what used to be divisive has now been the connector.
We have exactly that situation here, which happened in the 1960s in Overtown. It's interesting to hear that this pedestrian overpass situation happened in other places and maybe alleviated some of those kinds of problems.
Well, indeed, and at the heart of that, again, is to have the arts be the power of bringing the community back together.
I've been speaking with Jane Chu, the chairman of the National Endowment for the Arts. Thank you so much.
Thank you.